Good morning, church. Well, today is Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday when Christians around the world remember and celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus, the day when Jesus rides into Jerusalem and the disciples and the crowds shout Hosanna. And our scripture reading this morning will be by Rhonda Colson. Rhonda sings on the praise team, and she is always an enthusiastic reader of scripture for us. And so I know you'll be blessed by this reading this morning.
Our scripture reading today will be taken from Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the NIV. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Now, this is an exciting time for the disciples, and you can tell it's an exciting time for the swelling crowd as well. There is anticipation in the air. And the disciples are clearly growing in their belief that Jesus just might be the Messiah. And the crowd is getting caught up into that idea also. And despite all of Jesus' warnings to his disciples of his coming crucifixion, you can tell by reading this text that they're anticipating a coronation. Jesus is riding in as the victorious Messiah, the would-be king. Now, if this is your first time reading this story, or you're not all that familiar, there's probably a few questions that come to mind. Like, who just gives away a donkey or the foal of a donkey? Is this just known official Lord business? Probably it was prearranged, but we're never told. And there's also a question that's always baffled my mind, at least before I knew a little bit of the backstory. Why do you ride in on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey? That's about like choosing to ride in on a Fiat when you could ride in on a Ferrari. Now, the Roman generals would have chosen the Ferrari. They would have ridden in on a stallion, with people all around them proclaiming their victory, soldiers marching, showing their strength, and at the very end of the procession, all of the captives would have been marched along in shame. So to the Romans, this display of Jesus would have seemed pitiful. But to the Jews, they understood the symbolism. This was yet another clue that Messiah had come. This is how Solomon, the son of David, rode to his coronation. And this is how the new David, the Messiah, would ride in to his victory. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples pick up on the significance of this moment, and so does the crowd. This is an exciting time. People are cheering. People are shouting somewhere in the background. Celebrate Good Times is playing on the loudspeakers. And someone grabs a cloak and lays it down, and then another, and then another. And then someone goes to a tree nearby and takes off a palm branch, and another person does, and they lay it down. This is something you only do for royalty. This is something you do for a king. And people begin to shout praise. Hosanna! Hosanna! And they begin to quote from the psalm, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This might be the one. This might be the king we've all been waiting for. This might be the person to finally overthrow the Romans and put in a strong, new, independent Israel. It would be so easy to be swept up into the excitement of this moment. Did you know that the first ticker tape parade to ever happen in New York was spontaneous? As a parade was being held in connection with the dedication of the Statue of Liberty, office workers caught up in the moment threw ticker tape from the windows of buildings that lined the parade route. And once it started, more and more got swept up as well and joined in. It's easy to get caught up in the power of the moment, in the emotion of the crowd. It is already Passover week, and people are swept up in the excitement and the anticipation of the moment. And now more than ever, because this popular preacher and prophet and possible Messiah is riding into town in this extraordinary way, it's understandable that the crowd would grow in their excitement as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. But Jesus knows all along where this path leads. It moves beyond this parade to the cross. Jesus knows in a few short days the punishment that is coming his way that will replace the praise. Jesus knows in a few short days that many of the people that cried out Hosanna will be crying out Crucify. And Jesus knows that the disciples who led the procession one day will leave him. And one of his disciples will deny him. And one of his disciples will betray him. And yet, he moves forward anyway. While the pageantry of Christians celebrating Palm Sunday has always been a sight to behold, the real power is knowing what compels Jesus to walk this road into Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. And it is love. It is love that is willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of others. It is love that is willing to put the needs of others above the needs of self. It is love that is willing to lay everything on the line for the sake of others. It is love that is willing to serve and ultimately sacrifice if it's good for others. Plenty of coronations have come and gone through history, and for the most part, they are completely lost to our memories. What makes this so significant and so special is we know that ultimately this coronation leads to the cross. This Palm Sunday, we celebrate the amazing love of Jesus that put the needs of others, that put our needs above simply looking after himself. But as followers of Jesus, we don't want to simply celebrate it. We want to imitate it. We want to embody that same kind of love that Jesus shows to us in the ways that we interact with others. And now, more than ever, our world is desperate for the kind of love that is other-focused, that is willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of others, that is willing to serve, even sacrifice, for the sake of others. And so right now, I want to encourage you to pause for just a moment and either discuss with others who are watching with you or simply reflect for a few moments. What's something you can do this week to model this kind of love, to live out this kind of love for the sake of others? Now, I want to encourage you to do one more thing before I wrap up this video. And I was reminded of the importance of this a couple of Sundays ago when I got up and got out early. And I went to the grocery store at a time when I normally would have already been at the church building. I was trying to avoid the crowds as best as possible. And there weren't too many people in the grocery store at that time. But I can tell you, along with a few shoppers, there were a lot of workers, people who were restocking the shelves. And I was working my way down one particular aisle. I was going to get some more rice, and they happened to be out. And there was a worker who was stocking the shelves, and he asked me if he could help. And I told him what I was looking for. And he realized they were out, and he started to apologize to me. "I'm so sorry, sir, that we don't have any more." And my response to him was, "You don't have anything to be sorry about. Thank you so much for what you're doing right now." And it was just one of many reminders that I've had over the course of the last several weeks. While some of us are sheltering in place and staying home, there are many people that are showing other-centered love just by showing up to work and doing what they do. And we've got a lot of people in our church who do that very thing, who work in medical professions. So we've got lots of nurses and doctors and pharmacists and support staff. But there are so many other people in our society who are showing love just by doing what they do. So I think about people who are stocking shelves at grocery stores who aren't making a lot of money doing it, but are showing up and doing their work, which helps us keep going. And I think about delivery people and people working in restaurants and people working in manufacturing and the shipping industry. And there are countless others that we can think of, many of you who are doing that. And so it seems to me that this is also an appropriate time for us to stop for a moment and reflect about some people who are acting in loving and serving and even sacrificial ways just by doing their jobs. So for all of you who are doing that, one, I want to say thank you. But two, I want to encourage the rest of us when this video concludes to stop for a moment, reflect about some of those people. And if you have some of those people in your life, some of those people that you know, would you send them a text? Would you write them a note? Would you give them a call and tell them thank you? Because the way they're doing what they do models for us the kind of love that we want to show the world. And now at this time, one of our elders, Bruce Binkley, is going to conclude this video in prayer.
Good morning. Won't you join me in prayer? God, thank you for loving us before we were even born. Father, we know that your love for us caused you to send your Son to this earth. And Father, that perfect sacrifice that he made for us gives us a hope of an embrace in heaven that awaits us with you. Father, thank you for the example of love that he showed to us, even during times of crisis, even challenging times, and Father, how Jesus' love is a reflection of the love that you have for us. Father, help us to emulate that. Help us daily to seek ways to show that love to others during these challenging times. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for our safety and our comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.